This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. The IRS scandal erupting again.
Live from Washington, D.C.
Some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not.
Jay Seculo Live.
And they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Get out of the censorship and harassment business.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
It would be one thing if we were talking about partisan politicking. This rule is not about partisan politicking. It is about regulating fully protected issue advocacy by social welfare groups.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The IRS comment period has closed. The three-month comment period is closed on the new proposed regulations for 501c4 organizations. And folks, over 140,000 comments, the largest ever at regulations.gov. You could see it online. You could see the fact. You could click on any other issue there and see how small they are in comparison. EPA regulations that have been up open-ended for months, 22,000. The Keystone Pipeline, 9,000 I think it's up to now. The IRS regulations, which would, again, limit more so the free speech of American citizens. And, of course, it would be a post hoc justification for what the IRS has already done to these groups. You know, there was news yesterday about Tea Party Patriots finally getting their 501c4 status a day before they testified to Congress, a day before this was done, the comment period was done. And yet, under the new standards, that would be effectively rendered moot because they would be operating and have to operate under a new regulatory structure. Now, the vast majority, I mean, we're talking overwhelming number of these comments were opposed. And that has led many to believe that the IRS is now going to have to backpedal. But no surprise, 15 Democrat U.S. senators commended the IRS in their comments and said, we like everything you're doing, but they did actually say voter registration and get out the vote effort should not be candidate-related activity. So they still like it. They still think that there should be these regulations, but even they saw that the IRS had gone too far, which leads me to want to question these Democrat senators and ask, why do you think the IRS was doing this? You really think this was a good faith effort when even you could not criticize these rules? You still had to let them know, by the way, what you're trying to do is restrict basic rights, basic civic duties of Americans. So, folks, again, even those who have tried to support the IRS couldn't give a full endorsement, which I think shows how bad these rules were. Lois Lerner written rules, which gets us to what's coming next week. Lois Lerner recalled to testify. Will she show up? Will she be held in contempt if she does or doesn't show up and tries to claim the Fifth again? What will the committee do? Will they try to move with some contempt action, court action? Is there an idea of immunity out there? I've heard from a lot of you folks. Many of you support that idea. I'd like to get your comments on it today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And if you wrote your own comment on the IRS, about this IRS rule on regulations.gov. I know that link was going around. I tweeted it out. I know a lot of members of Congress were tweeting that out as well. We'd like to hear from you too, 1-800-684-3110. But is it worth it to you to give Lois Lerner some kind of immunity to get the info if she has it? I mean, this is assuming she has any info to give. If she's not, then no. I mean, that we all agree, then no. But if she's willing to testify to real substance, do you want to hear from her? Is it worth granting immunity? That would not stop our civil lawsuit against Lois Lerner, by the way. Folks, we want to hear from you. Express your outrage. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or visit ACLJ.org. We are wrapping up our petition as well. The comment period ended. We've still put together our petition. Call 877-989-2255. The last day to add your name and register your outrage. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
In the months before the 2014 elections, there now comes a call from liberal members of Congress that are vulnerable in the upcoming midterm election, a call for the federal government to step up the targeting of conservative groups. That's right, some members of Congress want conservative groups censored again in this election year. This is yet another unbelievable attempt to use the federal government for political purposes. At the ACLJ, we're standing up against the abuse of power, this blatant move to suppress free speech. These members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing, supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. There have been just an overwhelming response from the American people when it comes to this proposed rule by the IRS, which would silence speech, which would be retroactively would do to these groups exactly what the IRS apologized for, which puts in light, even the groups we represent, the 22 that have gotten their status from the IRS, it would revert. It would be like they never got their status again. They would be subject to a new regulatory rules. The IRS is now backpedaling, and this is not, we have not really seen the IRS backpedal throughout this scandal. They've actually kind of pushed forward and have been really stubborn in the sense that they did not want to say, well, we were wrong, so let's push back. They would just apologize and say, but time to move on. Here's new regulations. We're not going to write the code again. This is while tax exempt, the whole department that is in charge of this has been under scrutiny, criminal investigation, congressional investigation, lawsuits have been filed by us, others who have filed lawsuits. But I mean, our lawsuit again. How is it possible that this is even functioning right now at the IRS? They just have a brand new commissioner, and you know what? You give them only the benefit of the doubt to an extent. I think this commissioner finally realized, and he did testify this week, that it would be unlikely that they would get these rules through. I think that when they see the comment period, then there could be a public debate period. And then I would love to see if I think that the IRS will probably not do it now, which is a great victory, folks. And we still want to add your names because it's not done yet. The victory has not been had, but they are certainly backpedaling for the first time. But could you imagine what the public hearings would be like on this issue if online there were over 140,000 comments at one of the most boring websites I've ever been to in my life, regulations.gov? I mean, this one was kind of straightforward. You look at most of there, Keystone may be straightforward for people, EPA regulations straightforward, but those stand registered, 10,000, 22,000, IRS, over 140,000 people who were not scared of publicly saying what I think the IRS is doing or wants to do is wrong. And the IRS, for the most part, has been able to get away without a lot of public criticism because people are afraid of them.
Yeah, at least it works as opposed to healthcare.gov, right? I'll say that about
yeah,
the website.
True.
But listen, I'll say this too. The only reason this regulation is not going to go into place before the next election, or at least most likely, even the IRS commissioner has admitted that, the only reason is because of those 140,000 people that stood up and spoke out. The plan for the IRS was to have these regulations written and enforced by this election cycle. So while now we may have a partial victory, it is only because all of us really stood up and made a lot of noise on this, and it really is historic numbers. I think it's fair to describe it in this way, Jordan. This is the American people versus Washington, D.C. Now, one side of Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives, did the right thing, passed legislation to delay the implementation of this. But even on the left side of the spectrum, the ACLU is opposed to these regulations. It is Democrat politicians in Washington, D.C. that continue to stand behind them. But so far, Jordan, the American people have won. They've won by standing up. But I will say this. If they were to stand down, if they were to back off, and if the voice and the volume on this were to backtrack, the IRS would pick up right where they left off.
Yeah, David, this is what I'm starting to pick up. David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, is that the IRS doesn't like this kind of scrutiny that they're under now. The new commissioner wants to move past this. He's trying to get a budget increase that they may, as they had said, and it looks like they're indicating, back off on these new regulations for at least a couple of years. But again, folks, in IRS speak, that just means one election cycle. And so, you know, we have to look at it more like not 2 years, but one election cycle, and then there's a presidential election. So will they try to shut down these groups once again? And is it really a process of trying to put that that cloud of uncertainty? I mean, the truth is, until the IRS shelves this, like the FCC shelved their research program, until they shelve these rules, all the groups out there have to be worried, and some of these groups are larger and smaller, that these regulations should come back at any point.
Well, that's right. I mean, when you say election cycle, you hit the nail on the head. I think what the IRS is doing is they're trying to turn down the temperature a bit in response to this huge public outcry. They're going to see how these November elections go. And if they go well for their favorite senators, I think they're going to roll this back out again and maybe implement this before 2016. If things go poorly for them, they may shelve them entirely. But right now, this is about they have sensed where the public mood is. They're going to push it past one election cycle, see if things calm down. They haven't changed their minds about this. They're still partisan ideological bureaucrats. But, you know, the IRS needs to focus on its core mission. I mean, we're looking at an IRS that's trying to implement regulations to restrict free speech, and it won't be able to answer up to half of all consumer calls during tax season. I mean, that's absurd.
David, I know we want to take some of the phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, but folks, just to reiterate what David just said, there's nothing done out of good faith in Washington, D.C. when it comes to federal bureaucrats. And this administration has shown that over time. So some politicians as well. You know, they don't do it out of good faith. They don't do it until there's public pressure. They don't do it until there's outrage. They don't do it until they have to backpedal. They don't do it until they're scared. So, folks, again, without the outrage, without expressing your opinion, and listen, the IRS has gotten away because from scrutiny because people were afraid. You know, do you really want to sue the IRS? Do you really want to attack the IRS? You know what happened the last year? And, you know, folks, this has only been the scandal was announced by Lois Lerner. Remember, that was back in April. So not even a full year yet. But what's happened over this time period is that people came together. And when they came together, they took on the IRS. You know, it wasn't just one person out there worried that they may have faced retribution. I mean, the way the IRS operates is they basically have shown, even with the Tea Party Patriots situation, is that they are that politically motivated, that they are watching congressional hearing schedules and give people their status based on, I mean, it's so clear, the day before they testify, the day before this comment period ends. But as we were saying, you're giving them this old 501c4 status, but you want to change the rules of the game right in the middle, right after you give them the status. We still have groups, folks, 11 groups, which have still not heard from the IRS. We still represent 5 that withdrew because they weren't getting responses from the IRS, and 1 group who refused to answer their unconstitutional questions from the IRS and then was had their file closed by the IRS because they refused to answer unconstitutional questions. So we've still got out there 17 which are still waiting to hear from the IRS on whether they get status or not. So it's not done. Now, if one of them were about to testify before Congress, maybe they would get their status. Maybe they'd get their file reopened. That's what it looks like the IRS has been doing. Folks, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Though the comment period at the federal government website, regulations.gov, ended last night, we still have our petition going. We're at over 89,000 right now, folks. I want to get that to 90,000 at least. If you can add your name, we would appreciate it because, as we've all been saying today, this is not over. In fact, this is only going to get in the news more next week with Lois Lerner coming back to Capitol Hill or telling Capitol Hill she won't come back. This is all going to be happening next Wednesday, March 5th. So, folks, I want to hear from you, 877-989-2255. Call now. Final day to add your name in protest against this unconstitutional rewriting of the tax rules to silence conservative speech. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's take some phone calls.
Right. We've got a good call coming in from Bob from New Jersey. He's got a question I think we need to answer. Bob, you're on the line.
Thank you so much. I listen to Tom Cantor. He's a Messianic Jew. He has a program on in the evening at 5 in New Jersey. And he started his sermon the other night, and he was preaching on how we have to not be intimidated by things in our lives and move ahead. But what he said was shocking to me. He said the IRS had contacted them, asked for all this stuff. They're going to go through their private stuff. And he said they also have a mission into Israel, but this is a totally Christian ministry. This isn't even a political ministry. Has it spread to the Christian community with the IRS?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what religion you are. If you have the C4 status, this regulation would impact you. So that's why we've heard groups. I mean, it even goes so far, Bob, as groups that are not even ever been really politically involved, like motorcycle groups. So they have interest. You know, they have their interests that they lobby for, the issues they care about. They have memberships. And then you've got the more political groups, Tea Party Patriots, that are more involved. But then you've also got groups that may be a Christian organization that has a C4 as part of it, and they do get involved in issue advocacy or campaign activity, the limited amount that they're able to do, the limited political activity they're able to do. And so, yes, they would all be impacted. The IRS is not looking at this, and David, I'll let you close on this, but the IRS is not looking at this as based on are you a political C4, because you're not allowed to be just a political C4. You have to still have more than 49% of what you do has to be non-political.
Christian community is under fire. We have clients that have been asked unbelievably intrusive questions by the IRS who are Christian pro-life clients. So this is not just political in any way, shape, or form. And that's why everyone has to sign on to this petition. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Our petition is alive. It's near 90,000 signatures and it's very, very clear. Hands off the First Amendment. No interference with our rights to speak freely.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. In the months before the 2014 elections, there now comes a call from liberal members of Congress that are vulnerable in the upcoming midterm election, a call for the federal government to step up the targeting of conservative groups. That's right, some members of Congress want conservative groups censored again in this election year. This is yet another unbelievable attempt to use the federal government for political purposes. At the ACLJ, we're standing up against the abuse of power, this blatant move to suppress free speech. These members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing. supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Some good questions coming in next week about Lois Lerner, who will be back on Capitol Hill. Folks, you still have time. If you missed the federal deadline last night, over 140,000 comments came into regulations.gov, and overwhelmingly, as all the press reported, those are comments that oppose this new IRS rule. The IRS is kind of backpedaling now, backtracking a bit. Lois Lerner may be heading back to Capitol Hill to reassert her Fifth Amendment rights. She may not even show up. We don't know. There could be contempt. There could be an offer of immunity. A lot going on when it comes to this IRS scandal. It is continuing. I think it's, you know, reinvigorated the debate. You've got Democrat senators, I think it was about 15 of them, who wrote comments to the IRS trying to be supportive, but even they could not fully endorse the IRS plan. They had to say, you know, it's overreach when it comes to voter registration. It's overreach when it comes to get out the vote. So even they could not fully endorse what the IRS is doing, though they did say they liked the idea. And these were the Democrat senators. I mean, they were grasping. They didn't say it till the very end, but at the very end they had to admit that even they could not give a full endorsement to what the IRS was trying to do. All of that is good news. That means that anybody who said we were reading it too strictly, by the way, or that they didn't really mean voter registration in the basic sense, all of that was wrong, because even the Democrat senators had to admit that what the IRS was doing there was absolutely wrong and should not be, you know, that civic groups should not be stopped from doing nonpartisan voter registration or get out the vote efforts. And so, folks, we want to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. A good call coming in, because I know this scandal's been going on a while. Tracy in Wisconsin on line 5. Tracy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. God bless you guys.
Hi,
I just wanted to ask a question about whether, if she gets immunity, does that mean that she will retain her position? No. Or can we get her out of her office? Or—
well, she's retired, but she's still getting a pension. But the grant of immunity just is immunity from prosecution and has nothing to do with her ability to get her position back. Now, we're looking at right now the legalities of whether there was a waiver of her privilege or whether they're going to grant her immunity. I'll tell you what I would do procedurally at this point. If she made the correct, and Jordan, you mentioned this yesterday, if she made the proffer of what she would establish, and it would be significant, which if she was telling the truth, it would have to be because she was a high-ranking official, it probably be worth granting immunity. But Jordan and Than, what's the sense up there in Washington right now about a grant of immunity? I know there's a split within the ranks, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, Jay, there is not an interest in granting immunity because they want to hear her answer first. Now, I do think it would be on the table at some point down the road, but I think what's important to remember here is exactly what Jordan played in the open here. I mean, when Lois Lerner appeared before the committee and pleaded the fifth, she told the committee that she had done nothing wrong. But prior to that, when she apologized on behalf of the IRS, she admitted that there was wrongdoing. So we know that she was involved, we know that there was wrongdoing, but the key for her testimony and why the committee really wants her testimony, Jay, they want to know who devised the plan, who gave her the orders, and who all needs to be held accountable.
There's one thing, though, that's become clear since this began, David, and that is we now have emails that show that this did not probably even originate with Lois Lerner. It was higher up than her, including people in chief counsel's office. That smoking gun email came out about 2 weeks ago, and it had deputy chief counsels on it, regional counsels. So she may have been one of the main, you know, partners in this activity. I think she probably was. And clearly that, you know, we're going to develop this off plan. You know, that email went to her as well, although she didn't originate it.
Right. These emails show this was not a initiative focused on one person and around one person. She was important to it all, but this went above her,
yep,
to chief counsel's office. It went below her. It went to her peers. I mean, she was in the center of a web here of corruption and misconduct. And she's a key witness, but she's not the only player.
Jordan, what is your sense? I mean, you know, being up there watching this as it's unfold, what do you think is going to happen next week?
I think that the basic assumption is Lois Lerner is not going to talk. The question will be is, does she talk in the sense that she asserts her Fifth Amendment right, or does she not even show up? Does she risk the idea of contempt? Because either way, she could be facing that, showing up or not showing up. She could be held in contempt. And will the congressional Republicans, is she willing to talk? We don't know how far on the idea of immunity or what she will actually testify to if she was given that immunity. Right. We don't know what she's what her lawyers communicated, if anything. And Congressman Jordan, who is on the Oversight Committee, indicated yesterday in the broadcast that it doesn't seem like there's been any substantive real talk about that. So, yeah. Again, I don't suspect that to come out of the blue, though her attorney may be scrambling now. And that may be putting together a proffer on the immunity issue, and it'll be interesting to see that, because that would then again give us a whole new window. If Lois Lerner were to testify sometime in the next couple of weeks, I would not suspect that would happen in a few days, because she would take time to prepare all of that, or maybe it's prepared already.
Yeah,
but that we would see a whole new window into what was going on.
Let's take David's call from Hawaii.
Hey, David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, David.
How are you guys this morning?
Good.
My mentor helped develop a university with Youth for the Mission out here in Kona. He had a way of looking forward. He said, define the ideal, aim at it, get as close as you can. My question has to do with the overreach of the president and the imbalance of power.
Yep.
And the lack of action on the Congress part. There's got to be a strategy for Congress to get standing, to reassert itself. Every time we discuss this stuff, there's always, they don't have standing for this, that, or the other.
Well, I mean, their legal standing to go in court would be one thing, but you've said something that's really, I think, appropriate, David, and that is, here's the president's game plan. Overreach, then sometimes you get caught. When you get caught, apologize, and then do a partial pullback, or maybe a full back pullback, but generally a partial pullback. Here the problem is, I think it's what David French said, it's gone beyond the initial group, and it's so broad in its scope, David, that in reality, Congress is reasserting its authority, because they're hauling her, they're bringing her back. She may not show up, but they're asserting their authority to demand that she appear.
Absolutely. The IRS is not over the Congress of the United States of America. The IRS is not supreme to Congress. And so, yeah, what we're facing here with the IRS, though, and the reason why we say this is not just Lois Lerner, we're learning that the IRS was top to bottom full of partisan ideologues who were dead set on getting rid of the Citizens United decision.
Well, that's all. That's what this was about. All right, David, we're closing out the broadcast here, or at least this segment of the broadcast. SiriusXM, you get the full hour. Everybody else, just go to ACLJ.org. You'll hear the rest of the broadcast. But, David, we're to our goal. I looked this morning. We're about 20,000 away from where we need to be.
About 20,000 away.
So we kind of cut it in half, folks. Here's what I need you to do today, folks. If you've not yet supported the work of the ACLJ this month, we're at the very last day of our month. We're about $20,000 away from our goal. We believe we can get there with your help. ACLJ.org is an easy way to make an online tax-deductible donation. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, last day to sign this petition on air. Same way to do that, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Watch the movie that we have up called Tax Invasion, and it goes through what's going on right now in all these IRS cases. And you can watch that online at irsmovie.com. We also want to encourage you, and Jordan, let people know quickly here about what you're doing with Twitter, because it's very important for people to start following Jordan on Twitter, because you're going to get constant updates on what's really happening in Washington.
That's right, Fritz. It's the latest tweet I've got out there. So one we haven't even really gotten to the broadcast today, which was that the testimony is now revealed from IRS officials that it is certain that the rules were written in 2012, not in a response to the scandal.
All right, folks, so follow Jordan on twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Like us on Facebook, Jay Sekulow, American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow as well. And then online contribution, ACLJ.org.
These members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing, supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom. We're talking about freedom.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. I am going to play for you a little bit of the interview when we had Chairman Jim Jordan, who Jay testified in front of in the Oversight Committee just a couple of weeks ago. He was on the broadcast yesterday talking about the next steps in this IRS scandal and, of course, the recall of Lois Lerner. For anyone who missed it yesterday, I wanted you to have a chance to hear Chairman Jordan's remarks. So, again, this is Chairman Jim Jordan on Jay Sekulow Live yesterday.
We are pleased to have and thrilled to have on the phone with us right now a good friend, Congressman Jim Jordan, who also serves as a chairman of the Subcommittee on Economic Growth, Job Creation, and Regulatory Affairs that I testified in front of a couple of weeks back on this IRS scandal. He also serves on the House Judiciary Committee and House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Jay. And again, you did an outstanding job a couple weeks ago in a very important hearing, so we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you allowing me to participate. And let me ask you this, Congressman, because this is big news already. I mentioned in the beginning of our broadcast this op-ed that was penned in the Wall Street Journal from Brad Smith, the former FEC commissioner, and he lays out a great case on the kind of the smoking gun and the connecting the dots between Citizens United, the Supreme Court case, and ultimately the IRS action. But your committees are calling back Lois Lerner. Give us a little bit of the background. That she claimed the fifth, kind of, before.
Yep.
What are you anticipating?
Well, I mean, what do we hope? What we hope is that she'll come answer the questions. Now, I guess we don't necessarily expect that, but look, she's been at the center of this storm from the get-go. She's been at the center of this proposed rule, which started long before the Digdon audit became public, contrary to what the IRS has proclaimed. So she's been at the center of this and refused to answer questions. We want to give her another chance. We want to say, hey, come on back. You've seen all this play out. We know how bad it was. We know the abuse that conservative and Tea Party organizations faced. Come on back. We're going to give you another opportunity. And so let's hope that she does that. But I appreciate the chairman calling her back. And let's see if she's found the Lord, so to speak, and is willing to do what Americans want her to do, which is answer the questions and tell us how this all took place.
You know, it was interesting because when she first testified, of course, we thought, our inclinations were that she was the center of this. And in our litigation, we certainly have made that allegation. As the facts have developed over the last year, really since she's testified, I mean, it's even become worse, not just for her, but for the entire Internal Revenue Service, including the Chief Counsel's office. You've got those latest set of emails that went out where they talked about doing this and rewriting of the regulations off plan. It went to Lois Lerner, of course. Also went from Deputy Chief Counsels to the IRS. So, Congressman, you know, you almost, in a sense, if you're a lawyer, you say, yeah, you better take the fifth because you basically didn't tell the truth. Now, having said that, her lawyers are claiming that she needs full immunity here. Before we get in, I know Jordan's got some question on the immunity question, but let me ask you this. As you look at the situation right now, if you had to take a snapshot of where we are today, what do you think the most significant aspect of this has been? It's obvious targeting. It's obviously from Washington. Is it the scope and nature of how high up this went and the breadth of it?
Yeah, it's the breadth. I mean, again, you saw this at the hearing a few weeks ago. When the full weight of the government came down on Katherine Engelbrecht, after 20 years being in business, never had a visit from OSHA, ATF, FBI, only interaction with the IRS was filing her annual return, but she then applies for tax exempt status after forming True the Vote and after having an impact on cleaning up our election process, then the full weight of the government comes down on her, ATF, OSHA, FBI, 6 visits, 2 in person, 4 over the phone, and her personal business records are audited. And today we learned in our hearing, this is, I think, important, Jay, Ginny Beth Martin of Tea Party Patriots, she got now think about this. Today is the day that the comment period on the proposed rule ends.
Right. Today, 100,000 comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Today's the day that she was going to testify in front of our committee. Last night, she gets an email from the IRS saying, after 3 years of waiting, you've been approved. Your tax exempt status has been approved.
So there you go. Right.
Yeah, and we're supposed to believe this is all just one big, you know, chance and coincidence and all. I mean, that's the part that scares me. And then when, as you pointed out, and then we learn that this was done off plan, I think that's the biggest takeaway.
Again, folks, that was Chairman Jim Jordan from the House Oversight Subcommittee that Jay testified in front of. In the next 2 segments of the broadcast, we are going to have Congressman Marsha Blackburn on. She was out front and center on this issue of monitors in newsrooms that the FCC was rolling forward. She worked closely with us. But as we go to a break, go to your phone, stand with us in favor of the First Amendment, stand up for free speech. Call now, 877-989-2255.
In the months before the 2014 elections, there now comes a call from liberal members of Congress that are vulnerable in the upcoming midterm election, a call for the federal government to step up the targeting of conservative groups. That's right, some members of Congress want conservative groups censored again in this election year. This is yet another unbelievable attempt to use the federal government for political purposes. At the ACLJ, we're standing up against the abuse of power, this blatant move to suppress free speech. These members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing, supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
In the studio with us today, Congressman Marsha Blackburn, who really led, was one of the leaders of the charge on this latest move by the FCC that we were talking about on radio and television last week. And Congressman, let me ask you this first. When you got, you're the vice chair of the committee that was dealing with this.
That's correct.
So you've got a situation where there's this proposed study to go, you know, take place initially in South Carolina, where in essence, they called them researchers. I called them newsroom monitors, right, to determine philosophy, editorial determinations. What was your reaction when you got word of this?
I thought, here they go again. You know, because when it comes to the issues of the Fairness Doctrine, which we have struck down, we found about the CIN, the Critical Information Needs Study. We had written, as Chairman Upton and I had written the FCC saying, you can't do this, you need to pull this. So we had already been on their case about it last year. And then here we find out that they're moving forward. They've designated $1 million to it. So, yes, I went into overdrive on this because it is something that it's like playing whack-a-mole. You have to go tap them down every time and people have to remember we have to win at every single turn. They only need to win once.
Well, that's I said this also. I said we're claiming victory here. There's no doubt about it. But victory with your eyes open, and that is the eyes open being they're going to try another move. I mean, there's no doubt.
Right.
They got caught on this. The administration's strategy, in my view, and I'm handling a lot of the IRS litigation, we were heavily involved in this FCC matter, is overreach, get caught, apologize, pull back about three quarters, but they've still gained about a quarter.
That's right.
That seems to be the kind of trend. On the FCC matter, and I want to get into the internet aspect of this as well, whether it's the FCC, whether it's the IRS targeting conservative groups, there seems to be this trend right now with the administration that they will use every government, I said this, the alphabet of governmental agencies that they will use to stifle or at least intimidate people from speaking out.
That's exactly right. I think the First Amendment is under assault like it has never been under assault. And you're exactly right. It is coming from all angles. Look at what is happening. You mentioned the IRS, and I thank you for the great work you're doing there. The EPA, our small business manufacturers who have EPA auditors come in the door, they've admitted that many of those audits are political, and we keep hauling them in, looking over them, pushing back when they try to do all this through rules and regulations. Look at what is happening to our hospitals through healthcare. They're doing something called RAC audits, RAC audits. Go to your local community hospital and say, how many audits is HHS or CMS pulling on you? How much money have they tied up?
from you. And this is amazing what they're doing. It is an assault like I've never seen. I was in Denver for one of our colleagues last week, and there was a banker in the room, and he was talking about the pressure they get from the new FDIC rules, yep. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Somebody in California, an attorney there who handles bankruptcy, said CFPB came to them and said, look, we want information. He said, you can't have that. It is attorney-client privileged information.
Which, that doesn't bother this administration. We
not
saw that
at
with
all.
We saw that with the Department of Justice going after reporters. They kind of pulled back on that now. And you look even at this matter with the FCC. What they were, they kept saying, well, it's voluntary, except the FCC controls the license. So
that's
the voluntary
right.
nature of it was, not so voluntary if they're controlling your license.
That's one of those things they do with a wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah.
But
you caught him here. You were really aggressive on this, which we appreciate. We heard from 86,000, almost 87,000 people in 2 days on this. I mean, people were really, really upset about this.
Thank goodness.
This is the first time we're being able to announce the win, because by the time the win came out late Friday, we were already off air. But there's another concern you have, and it's one that we're all sharing, is our internet presence, and whether it's social media, whatever it might be, everybody's internet presence is growing. It's radio presence on the internet is now huge. Same thing with television. The question is the FCC up to something there as well? What are they going to try to do?
Yes, they are.
All right, so we're looking at the internet side, folks,
yes,
now. Okay.
They are up to something. And for your audience, they can follow me on Facebook.
Okay.
It is Marsha Blackburn, Twitter, at Marsha Blackburn.
We'll link all that on the website,
yes,
too.
Yes, and blackburn.house.gov, okay, because I need their help on
right.
a bill. This is
right.
what they are doing. When it comes to what they call net neutrality,
right.
sounds so warm and fuzzy,
yeah, always.
But that is government control of the internet. On a bipartisan basis, Congress has voted against this.
Right.
We didn't want it. Bipartisan agreement, we do not want government control of the internet. So then they tried to implement this through the FCC rules. They were challenged with the lawsuit. It goes to the federal district court. They side with industry and against the federal government that
right.
they do not have this right. So then you had some on the left come back and file another bill for net neutrality. They know it's not going to go anywhere. So then you had FCC Commissioner Wheeler announced he was going to implement the net neutrality rule. So I refiled my bill.
Let's tell everybody what this means, but I want to get to the bill in a second. So net neutrality, if it were to be law, what happens?
What happens if net neutrality were to be law or were to be the rules,
right.
Then the federal government would precede your internet service provider. In essence, they would not be the one that determines priority, value, speed of content. It would be the federal government. Mm. They would precede upstream your ISP, and they would have the determination over your access to speed, to content, to value. Now, whose content are they going to put first, a liberal group or a conservative group?
So
who is going to get the faster speed?
We know what the answer to that will be.
Yes.
So here's the question. So you've got H.R. 4070.
That's right.
What does that bill do?
That bill prohibits the FCC from implementing net neutrality rules.
Okay.
And it allows customers and the vendor to decide what kind of speed, what kind of content, what they want to access, and gives them the control over the internet, not the federal government.
When is the bill being introduced?
The bill was introduced on Friday. We
okay.
did it
oh,
in a pro forma
okay.
session.
Yep.
We're just beginning to get co-sponsors on it. We'll have it at Republican Study Committee this week. All of your listeners can go to cosponsor.gov.
Okay.
They can click on H.R. 4070 and become a citizen co-sponsor. Spread the word.
Okay.
Get their members of Congress
sure.
signed on so we can move this bill forward.
Let's talk about moving forward. Because I think what I concluded with the FCC matter, and we talked about this on air to the radio and television audiences, if we didn't jump on this quickly, this program had been in place since April.
That's
when
right.
when the commissioner came out with that editorial in the Wall Street Journal, it was a great editorial, and it did a great job by making it public.
Right.
But it took a few days for people to realize what's going on here. So these
right.
kind of insidious attacks, these behind-the-scene
right.
attacks, the left hook in, are serious. So even with the FCC win, and I, again, a significant win, I don't want to downplay that in any sense, But we've got to be really vigilant here. And that includes the bill with the internet. You've got to be really vigilant.
And bear in mind, they told us they were going to do this program. The committee, we had written them requesting that it be withdrawn and requesting a response. Commissioner Pai followed that
with the
op-ed. Right. And it is that convergence, people beginning to realize that. And here is where you get the link between Fairness Doctrine 2.0, as I call it, and also what is happening with the net neutrality. Every newsroom, every radio station, every program has a website. So you put those monitors in the newsroom, and then not only is it going to be the broadcast over the airwaves, it is going to be your broadband. And that gives them the ability to decide what stories are going to top line, going to headline, what we're going to know. And it is such an encroachment on our First Amendment rights.
I was going to ask you that because I've been litigating First Amendment cases for a long time, 34 years. I have never seen a regime in place that is so insidious, that is so, people say, well, they're so naive. They're not naive. These are really intentional moves.
Very.
So if I look at the net neutrality, so if I look at the internet, I look at the TV radio station proposed monitors, I put all that together, I look at the IRS targeting, I put all of this into a framework, and what it looks like to me is a really concerted effort to target conservatives in the broadest possible definition of conservative, because the government and the administration in particular doesn't want that message out there.
Well, you're exactly right. And not only does it target conservatives, if you look at the net neutrality order that came out from the FCC, paragraph 84 of that order states that all innovators who are innovating an attachment to the broadband have to file with the FCC.
Yeah.
Or they could be forced, put in a position to withdraw or to pull back that innovation. So basically they're saying, we're not going to let you innovate, whether it's healthcare informatics, whether it is financial service informatics, whether it is educational informatics. You can't go innovate a new application
without approval. Yeah. So let me ask you this question, because we both spend a lot of time in Washington. Your sense of where we are right now in this, I mean, looks like we are in for a 3-year fight on every level.
We are in for a fight like we have never been in a fight. Just start going down through the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, keep going, rolling on.
There you have it. That was a little bit of the interview. ACLJ.org, 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this petition. It's critical that we hear from you. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more ahead. Your calls and comments, and also our interview with Congressman Marsha Blackburn. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
In the months before the 2014 elections, there now comes a call from liberal members of Congress that are vulnerable in the upcoming midterm election, a call for the federal government to step up the targeting of conservative groups. That's right, some members of Congress want conservative groups censored again in this election year. This is yet another unbelievable attempt to use the federal government for political purposes. At the ACLJ, we're standing up against the abuse of power, this blatant move to suppress free speech. These members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing. supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. As I mentioned earlier, we had the opportunity to sit down with Congressman Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She played a major role in this FCC issue. You heard a little bit of the interview. I want you to hear the rest of it. So let me ask you this question, because we both spend a lot of time in Washington. Your sense of where we are right now in this, I mean, this is, looks like we are in for a three-year fight on every level.
We are in for a fight like we have never been in a fight. Just start going down through the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, keep going, rolling on. And it is, as I said, it's like playing whack-a-mole. You have to stay right on top of it. And we are doing this through the proper channels, oversight and legislatively, with H.R. 4070, which is the Internet Freedom Act. We think this is imperative. We're going to push back against them, and we'll continue to do so on fairness doctrine, on net neutrality, because now they have merged those two.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what else comes into play with all of that is the privacy issues.
Yeah, sure.
And we're continuing. I'm chairing that privacy working group in Congress, and we're staying on top of that because we're very unhappy with the administration on some of those actions.
Two additional questions. I know you got to go, but you've been in. I know it's, you spoke at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I'm doing that tomorrow as well. I'm looking at this from both a conservative media standpoint. I do a lot. You do as well. You're on Fox. You're on a lot of networks. I'm on all of them, but I do Fox more than any. I think this, a lot of this was targeted at Fox and conservative media and Christian media too. But when I look at the net neutrality issue and I look at the – they always pick names that sound great. You know, net neutrality,
yes, they do.
The implementation study was to determine diversity. I mean, it all sounded wonderful, except when you get right to the bottom line of it. You mentioned the kind of whack-a-mole concept of that, you know, it's going to keep popping up. I was with some of the broadcasters from the major stations yesterday, and we were talking about this, how when we go on air – we may have planned, let's say, since early this morning, which we do, around 5:30, 6 o'clock, you start planning the morning broadcast for your live show. And oftentimes now, we are changing it minutes before because of the nature of what's happening here. When you look at it politically, from the political standpoint, over the next 36 months, where do you see the greatest threat coming? Is it this regulatory? Is it going to be the executive orders, the rules and regulations? The president is threatened to, you know, utilize his pen and his phone. Is that where you see it coming for, or do you think it's all of the above?
Yes, I think that we're going to have two main things that we are looking at. Regulatory overreach and what they're trying to do through the rules. Obamacare is a great example. A 2,300-page bill now has 20,000 pages of rules and regulations. And secondly is the threat of the imperialist president who wants to pick and choose winners and losers, pick and choose what parts of the law he is going to implement, pick and choose what is favored and disfavored. And I think that that is very destructive to us. He's got a pen and a phone. I've got a constitution, and I am in this fight for the long haul.
Well, I said that last week, too, Congressman, that you know, he keeps talking about the pen and the phone. But we've got ink, and we have phones, and we have internet, and we have litigation. I mean, and the fact of the matter is we are litigating a lot of these issues. But when I look at net neutrality, I look at the fairness, this redo of the fairness doctrine. When I look at what they just announced on Friday with the Department of Justice, changing, supposedly, modifying its rules on how they're going to go after the media. Yeah. They went after James Rosen from Fox News, a friend of ours, and they went after, of course, Associated Press as well. They were probably, you know, equal opportunity harassers at that point. Here's the thing that bothers me about the whole scenario. They issue these change of rules, but in that change of rule, they have an exception, of course. In most cases, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to violate the Constitution again. However, then they put the however is, in most cases, however, if the integrity of the investigation could be compromised. What does that mean? Nobody knows what that means. That means whatever Eric Holder decides it means, that's what he's going to go with.
Right.
So when you whack them, you hit them over the head, you pound them back in court through the legislative process, which you're doing. But at the end of the day, the American people have to be really vigilant here.
Right. And I told someone last night, I said, what we have to realize is this political process right now, it is a team sport.
It is.
And we, the people, have got to stand up and be the people. And everybody has to participate in this, because with the amount of distrust that is out there right now, the most important news network is the YOU.
Yep.
It is you, the individual, with your network of friends who will send forward good information and will go engage people and say, I need you to help me fight back. Will you forward this to your address book? Will you, speak out about this? Will you fight back against this liberal onslaught that we are having? And I hope that people will rally on the side of freedom and come help us.
Let me ask you this last question. I keep saying last question, but this will be the last question. You mentioned hope just now. You've got great hope.
Yes.
You feel like at the end of the day, the American people carry the day.
I do. I think there are five things that are kind of foundational to our country. And I wake up every day honored to go fight to protect faith, family, freedom, hope, and opportunity.
There you go.
And I think the American people have about had their fill of this. As my grandmother would have said, they're about on my last nerve. And this administration's about on the last nerve of a lot of people. People are tired of being broke. They're tired of being condescended to. They are tired of being told that America's best days are over. They're tired of being told, get in line. They're tired of looking at the fact that we are no longer at the top of the heap on the Freedom Index. They are tired of hearing their employers, and they're tired of seeing their employers beat up with federal regulations over taxation.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know, they're saying, I want to work. I want my employer to do well. I want us to be successful. And they know this administration is impeding that, and I hope that they're going to get in this fight for freedom.
I think they will. I could assure you that our people are. And the we're representing the speaker in the case involving the recess appointments to the NLRB that's at the Supreme Court. I'm expecting a decision any day. I think we're going to win that, and I think the administration's going to be held back one more time. But that's what we need to do. Thank you for your involvement.
Thank you for the great work that you and ACLJ do on a daily basis.
Well, I appreciate it. Great having you.
Thank you.
Now, as we won the FCC case, I want to say we are now fighting to make sure we have free speech for conservative and Christian organizations in the political process. That's the newest campaign. You can sign on to that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Again, folks, a big thank you to Congressman Marsha Blackburn, who's really worked alongside us in this effort. You know, there are two stages to this. There's the targeting scandal, the next step of which is going to happen next week in the House Oversight Committee when Lois Lerner is recalled. And the other side of this is the regulations to regulate the free speech of 501c4s. Well over 100,000 comments have come in. And, folks, that legislation delaying those regulations has passed the House. It is now in the Senate. We're working with Senator Ted Cruz to force votes on it inside of committees. We need you to stand with us on both of those efforts. Call now, 877-989-2255. Nothing is more fundamental to a free society, folks, than the ability to speak out and the ability to engage the political process. If you want to stand with us to preserve that right, call now, 877-989-2255, or sign online at aclj.org.
Members of Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to enact tough new regulations targeting conservative groups. That's why the ACLJ is mobilizing. supporting new legislation to defend free speech and protect the integrity of our elections to stop this unlawful targeting scheme. Add your name to our petition backing this important new legislation designed to protect our First Amendment rights. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.com.